hey, I at least can record the show the way I used to. So, I kind of dig that. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. We'll do some news. So, we'll start the way we always start.
World news.
There we go. So, first up, sad news. India COVID pandemic. Delhi calls for army help amid crisis. The authorities in the Indian capital of Delhi have called for help from the army as the city grapples with a brutal second wave of COVID-19 cases. I'm going to try... I think the microphone's too hot. All right, we'll try this. If this is too quiet, we'll fiddle with it tomorrow. We'll leave the setting how it is. All right. Delhi's government wants the army to run COVID care facilities and intensive care units. Across India, case numbers since the start of the outbreak are closing in on 20 million. The country has seen more than 300,000 new cases a day for nearly 2 weeks straight, while death stands at 220,000. Experts say total COVID cases and deaths in India are likely to be much higher, citing lack of testing and patients dying at home without being seen by doctors. Delhi, which this weekend reported record daily deaths at more than 400, wants the army to run medical care with oxygen facilities for around 10,000 patients and a further 1,000 intensive care units. Deputy Chief Minister Manish Sisodia said that with healthcare overwhelmed, it will be a timely help to the people of Delhi if the Ministry of Defense, with the considerable resources at its command, is tasked with the responsibility to provide and man the additional COVID health facilities. He also asked for urgent help transporting much-needed oxygen. India has already ordered its army to send its oxygen from army reserves to hospitals, while retired military medical personnel have been called up to help. Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal has repeatedly said that the city is not getting enough oxygen from the federal government, which allocates oxygen quotas to states. But federal officials deny there are shortages, saying that the challenges come from transportation. India produces thousands of tons of oxygen a day, but some experts say the supply crunch comes from a lack of investment in distribution networks. Delhi hospitals have resorted to sending SOS messages on social media to secure supplies. For residents, hours spent in queues to top up portable canisters have become part of daily life. It's a battle we are fighting every day, said Dr. Gautam Singh, who runs the Sri Ram Singh Hospital. Half of my hospital staff are on the road with cylinders to get them filled every day, going from one place to another. There are several strains outside of the capital, too. In the southern state of Karnataka, 24 people died in one hospital, but the government there has denied reports that all of them died due to a shortage of oxygen. India's COVID crisis has been compounded by a sluggish vaccination campaign. Despite being the world's biggest producer of vaccines, there is a shortage of supplies. Since January, just over 10% of India's 1.4 billion people have had one dose, and only about 2% two doses. The chief executive of India's Serum Institute, the world's biggest vaccine manufacturer, has warned shortages will last for months. Adar Poonawalla told the Financial Times the institute had been unfairly maligned over the lack of supplies. He had not boosted capacity earlier, he said, because there were no orders. We did not think we needed to make more than 1 billion doses a year. So, it's very scary. I don't think I have it in the list, but they called off like finals for doctors, like the final tests, and are pulling all of those doctors in to help with the shortages of healthcare workers. It's really scary over there right now. So let's keep talking about other stuff here. Let me know. We'll see. I'm curious how this is going to turn out. So. We'll chat about it in calm. Fingers crossed. I don't know. I've got all this stuff going on at work, and so I'm kind of rushing to get through this, and then fingers crossed I can actually be active in calm. Anyway, I'm just getting distracted. Let's keep going. This is a fun time. We're having a good time. Japan nurses voice anger at call to volunteer for Tokyo Olympics amid COVID crisis. The organizers of the Tokyo Olympics have sparked anger in Japan's medical community after they asked 500 nurses to volunteer at this summer's games. The request came as the International Olympic Committee and organizers pressed ahead with plans to hold the games, even as the coronavirus pandemic continued to worsen in the host nation, amid warnings that the event could place an intolerable strain on exhausted healthcare workers. The total number of COVID-19 deaths in Japan recently passed 10,000, the highest in the region, while media reports said the number of people with severe COVID-19 symptoms reached a record 1,050 at the weekend. Medical staff in Tokyo and other areas where cases are surging say their professional focus must remain on coronavirus patients and people with other illnesses who have had their treatment delayed due to the virus. Osaka Prefecture, the epicenter of Japan's fourth wave, has run out of beds for seriously ill patients, with other people suffering from the virus forced to spend hours waiting in ambulances before they can be admitted. Olympic officials say 10,000 medical workers will be needed during the Games, which will be held during the hottest time of the year. But a recent request to the Japanese Nursing Association to send 500 of its members to Tokyo 2020 was met with a wave of anger on social media from nurses who said they were too busy to devote time to the Olympics. A tweet by a local federation of medical unions outlining its opposition to performing Olympic duties has received hundreds of thousands of retweets in recent days. Although medical workers were the first group in Japan to start receiving vaccines in mid-February, many have yet to get their first jab. Morita said unprotected medical staff fear contracting the virus while treating patients or administering vaccines. Morita is the Secretary General of Japan's Federation of Medical Workers Unions, Susumu Morita. So far, less than 2% of Japan's population of 126 million has received at least one dose, the lowest rate among Olympic participating countries. Beyond feeling anger, I was stunned at the insensitivity of the request, Mikito Ikeda, a nurse in the central city of Nago, told Associated Press. It shows how human life is being taken lightly. The Prime Minister, Yoshihide Suga, provoked dismay when he suggested that nurses who had stopped working, including those suffering from stress and exhaustion, could be enlisted for Tokyo 2020. I hear many are taking time off, and so it should be possible, he said it last week. Whew. Suga last month declared a state of emergency in Tokyo, Osaka, and two other virus hotspots in an attempt to check the surge in cases, with restaurants that serve alcohol asked to close until at least 11th of May and dry establishments to cut their opening hours. There's more to this if you want to read it at The Guardian, but it's pretty amazing. The Japan's response to COVID-19 has just been very interesting. And this event is particularly cold. It's like, holy moly. It's like medical staff doesn't have vaccinations yet. And then they're freaking out and they're taking time off. And then the president's like, hey, I mean, if you've got the time, if you're taking time off, you can go work for free for us, right? It's like, come on. So many of the wealthy and the elite are so removed from the world that they just keep doing this kind of tone deaf stuff where they're like, what do you mean? Just hop in your jet and fly to the next town. Or, you know, what do you mean you can't afford this? I mean, it's so cheap. It's only a couple hundred thousand. Anyway, it's just, I see it as a, it's just very scary. Okay. Oh, let's go here. Discree. Okay. Sorry, I got a cookie consent warning from France 24, so I wanted to go ahead and opt out. Sorry about the wait. Ugh, I'm out of water. Oh. Water. I was starting to choke. I was like, oh no. And then I did have a little bit of water left, so huzzah. Dozens killed in Bangladesh after speedboat crashes into transport vessel. At least 26 people were killed when a speedboat packed with passengers collided with a vessel transporting sand on Monday in the latest maritime disaster to hit Bangladesh. Police said the speedboat, carrying about three dozen passengers from the town of Mawa, rammed into the other vessel in the Padma River as it neared the main river station and the central rural town of Shibchar. We have so far recovered 26 bodies, including a woman. We've also rescued five injured people, including three children, police official Amir Hossein told AFP. Hossein said the bow of the passenger boat was destroyed when the speedboat smashed into the side of the transport vessel, sinking in the river in minutes. Police, the fire brigade, and army rescue teams are on the spot conducting search and rescue work. Witness Abdur Rahman said there was a loud noise when the boats collided, and then the vessels then overturned. When we rushed to the spot, we found the speedboat torn into two pieces. Hundreds of villagers immediately started conducting rescue work before they were joined by police and the fire brigade. So, yeah, it's just sad. There's a lot of boat-related news going on. Just to hit those real quick, they're all over the place. Let's see. Where did you go? 11 migrants drown off Libyan coast. Another 11 migrants drowned on Sunday off the coast of Libya, bringing the total number of lives lost while attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea to more than 600 in 2021. Humanitarian charity Norwegian Refugee Council announced on Monday. So that's a boat crash there in, or a boat sinking, sadly, off the coast of Libya. And what else? At least three killed and many hurt in a boat capsized off San Diego. A packed boat suspected of being used in a human smuggling operation capsized and broke apart in the powerful surf along the rocky San Diego coast, killing at least three people and injuring more than two dozen others. Lifeguards, the U.S. Coast Guard, and other agencies responded around 10:30 a.m. Sunday following reports of an overturned vessel and the waves near the rugged peninsula of Point Loma, according to San Diego Fire Rescue Department. The original call was for a handful of people overboard, but as rescuers arrived in boats and jet skis, they quickly realized it was going to be a bigger situation with more people. There are people in the water, drowning, getting sucked out the rip current there. Seven people were pulled from the waves, including three who drowned, Romero said. San Diego Lifeguard Service's Lieutenant Rick Romero. There we go. That makes sense. One person was rescued from a cliff, and 22 others managed to make it to shore on their own. The total death toll remained unclear, however. The U.S. Coast Guard said in a statement late Sunday that four people were dead. The local coroner's office listed three dead, including a 41-year-old woman, a 35-year-old man, and a man of unknown age. So, this is very scary and sad. As warmer weather comes to San Diego, there's a misperception that it will make illegal crossings safer or easier. That's clearly not the case. So yeah, lots of boat related news stories today, or at least three of them. Alright, so we gotta keep going. Ugh, I feel it. I feel it in my bones. Get the news over with.
Yeah, I want to hear the music.
I know it, right?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right. We'll get there. We'll do two more stories, and then we'll play a song. How about that? All right. Is that okay, guy?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. All right. So, Denmark drops Johnson & Johnson shot from national vaccine rollout. Denmark said Monday it would not include the COVID-19 vaccine from U.S. drug maker Johnson & Johnson in its national vaccination campaign, citing worries over serious side effects involving blood clots. The Danish Health Authority has concluded that the benefits of using the COVID-19 vaccine from Johnson & Johnson do not outweigh the risk of causing the possible adverse effect in those who receive the vaccine. Therefore, the Danish Health Authority will continue the Danish mass vaccination program against COVID-19 without the vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. The move comes after the country last month stopped using AstraZeneca's vaccine over a potential link to a rare but serious form of blood clot. The rollout of the vaccine, J&J's vaccine, has also been delayed elsewhere in Europe over similar concerns, though the WHO and European Medicines Agency, or EMA, have both authorized the vaccine. Of Denmark's 5.8 million inhabitants, 11.5% are fully vaccinated and 23.4% have received a first dose. And tomorrow will be a full 2 weeks since my second shot, so then I'll be on the mark. Yesterday, I went to a bar and got some drinks and sat around outside and ran into a bunch of friends. A lot of people have gotten their second shot, and so it was pretty cool. All right. Child sex abuse, four held in German-led raid on huge network. German police have arrested three men and a fourth is being held in Paraguay for allegedly running one of the world's biggest online networks for sharing images of child sex abuse. the international operation involving several police forces targeted a darknet platform called Boys Town, which has now been taken down. Officials say Boys Town had more than 400,000 registered users. They say some images showed the most serious sexual abuse of young children. The darknet is an internet area beyond the reach of mainstream search engines. The German-led investigation involved law enforcement agencies in the Netherlands, Sweden, Australia, the US, and Canada. The EU police agency, Europol, says it will also examine the intelligence gained from the operation, and more arrests and rescues are to be expected globally. Several related pedophile chat sites on the dark web, darknet, were also dismantled, Europol says. German police say three men detained since mid-April are believed to have run the network, one aged 40 from Paderborn, one aged 49 from the Munich area, and a 58-year-old from North Germany, who's been living in South America for several years. He was detained in Paraguay's Concepcion region under an international arrest warrant, and German authorities have asked for his extradition. The fourth suspect is a 64-year-old from Hamburg, who was allegedly one of the most active members, responsible for more than 3,500 posts. So, very wild, wild indeed. I'm glad they caught them. And I appreciated the description of the dark net in this article as being an area beyond the reach of mainstream search engines, as opposed to giving it some kind of super sinister layer. They do have a video, if you want to hear more about it or learn more about it, a video that looks like it's about a minute describing what's going on. And you can see that at bbc.com. And as promised, you get to hear some music. This is Loving Spoonful, and the song is called, would you guess it? Summer in the City.
Town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer. In the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Just like the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Yes, that, my friends, was Loving Spoonful. Hey, Summer in the City. There we go. All right, I gotta be sure and mention this, because I don't want to forget.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. And don't forget, every day at 19:30 UTC, which is immediately following news to me, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That show is about 30 minutes long. Well, it's precisely 30 minutes long. And, oh man, it is a good time. It's available every single day, Monday through Monday. So any day of the week, any time of the year, at 19:30 UTC, you can catch Tobe and find out what's going on with the Dubious Goals Committee. So stick around and check that out. We've got just about 8 minutes left before that. So let's hurry up and get through it. Come on, Marcus. Hurry up. Hurry up. Anyway, it always takes me. I always end up taking too long on the stories up front, and then we rush through the rest of the stuff. So let's go ahead here. It's time to go through our Africa news block real quick. These are just some quick headlines from Panapress, PanaPress.com. And yeah, they've got a bunch of news. They've got a lot of African news. And so here we go. Guinea's mining sector supports growth despite COVID-19. The Guinean mining sector is expected to continue to support overall growth in 2021 in Guinea, even as the country faces a double health shock, including an increase in COVID-19 cases, coupled with a resurgence of the Ebola epidemic, said the International Monetary Fund, which has just completed a virtual mission to the country. Germany has granted Libya 5 million euros for a vaccination campaign. The German government's granted Libya 5 million euros in support of the vaccination campaign in Libya against the coronavirus, the German embassy in Tripoli announced on Monday. So that's really great news. I'm excited about that. Sticking in Libya, the Libyan Prime Minister, Abdelhamid al-Dabaiba, on Monday in Tripoli discussed ways to strengthen relations between Libya and Turkey during talks with high-level Turkish delegation. And in Nigeria, bandits threatened to kill 17 abducted students Tuesday if ransom is not paid by Kaduna State. Bandits who abducted 22 students from Greenfield University, Kaduna State, in northwestern Nigeria killed 5 of them on Saturday and threatened to kill the remaining 17 by Tuesday if the state government fails to produce a ransom payment of Nigerian 100 million and 10 brand new motorcycles. So, that's very sad news. Indeed. On the good side, the Congo, or I guess the Democratic Republic of the Congo, on Monday declared the end of an Ebola outbreak that infected 12 people in the eastern province of northern Kivu and killed 6 of them. The outbreak was contained using Merck's Ebola vaccine, which was given to more than 1,600 of the patient's contacts and contacts of contacts, the international medical charity Doctors Without Borders said. The cases were genetically linked to the 2018-2020 Ebola epidemic, that killed more than 2,200 people, the second highest toll recorded in the disease's history. The latest flare-up, the Democratic Republic of the Congo's 12th since the disease was first identified in 1976, emerged on February 3rd in the city of Butembo with the death of a woman whose husband had contracted the virus in the previous outbreak. The virus can remain in certain body fluids, including semen, of a patient who has recovered from the disease, even if they no longer have the symptom of severe illness. Oh my gosh, that's terrifying. Despite the security context and the COVID-19 pandemic, the rapidity and efficiency of the response put in place by the government and its partners made it possible to defeat this pandemic in less than 3 months. The response was often hampered by insecurity caused by armed groups and social unrest limiting the movement of healthcare workers, the World Health Organization said. The DRC is also fighting the coronavirus pandemic. The country's reported nearly 30,000 cases and 768 deaths. So, way to go, Congo, DR Congo, in solving that problem. That's a scary disease for sure. All right, and here's one more story for you that's not... this one, hopefully, it's sad, but it's not depressing. Authorities in Germany have canceled the Oktoberfest beer festival in Munich over coronavirus concerns. This is the second year in a row that the event has been called off due to the pandemic. The situation is too uncertain, Bavaria's Premier Markus Söder said on Monday. Around 6 million people would normally attend the annual festival, which takes place in September and October. wasn't an easy decision, Munich's Mayor Dieter Reiter told a joint news conference on Monday. Bavarian Premier Söder, meanwhile, said that measures such as face masks and social distancing would not be feasible in the festival's traditional beer tents. Mr. Söder added that canceling the event at a later date would have caused economic loss. Imagine there was a new wave and then it became a super spreader event. The brand would be damaged forever, and we don't want that. While Munich's official events were canceled last year, many locals attended the city's breweries and traditional close. This year marks the 26th time the festival's canceled in more than 200 years. According to its official website, Oktoberfest was first called off in 1813, just 4 years after it began, due to fighting with Napoleon. Since then, it's been halted by wars, inflation, and cholera. Last month, Germany introduced a controversial new lockdown law in response to the third wave of infections. The rules, which allow federal government to impose an overnight curfew and shut schools wherever infection rates raise too high, have already been put in place in a number of cities. So, we'll see how that plays out. It's kind of a bummer, but hey, it's better than getting COVID and dying, right? So, you know what? Oh yeah, I like having sound effects again, even though I don't have all of them loaded up. I still have some, and I think that's fun. All right, we've got just about a minute and a half, so here are some headlines for you. Apple and Epic Games are going to court. After a month of hype and warring words, Epic Games is finally getting its day in court with Apple. The trial began on Monday and is one of the most important in Apple's history. Apple boss Tim Cook will be giving evidence, the first time he's given testimony at a trial. At stake is the future of the App Store and the amount it charges developers, a widely lucrative money spinner for the company. A Colorado woman was killed in an apparent bear attack. Watch out for the bears! A woman walking her two dogs in Colorado has been killed in a bear attack, park officials say. The 39-year-old, who's not been identified, was found dead in an area north of Durango on Friday. A black bear and two young bears were located nearby and euthanized. Colorado Parks and Wildlife Service confirmed human remains were found in the digestive systems of two bears. Fatal bear attacks in Colorado are said to be extremely rare. So that's very scary, but yeah, keep your eyes open, avoid the bears. And this is a story I really got to mention because it's just so corrupt. Ted Cruz warning to woke CEOs blasted by former governance ethics boss. This may be the most openly corrupt thing any senator has said, writes Walter Schaub, a former director of the U.S. Government of Government Ethics. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz is facing ridicule for writing a surprisingly candid newspaper column, which government ethics experts called the most openly corrupt thing any senator has said, which is a big accomplishment. This time, we won't look the other way on Coca-Cola's $12 billion in back taxes owed, Mr. Cruz wrote in an op-ed titled, Your Woke Money is No Good Here. This time, when Major League Baseball lobbies to preserve its multi-billion dollar antitrust exemption, we'll say no thank you. As many observers pointed out, the Texas senator seems to be admitting that he and other GOP lawmakers had done these things in the past. So yeah, it's worth checking out. Thanks so much for listening. I hope it was decent quality.
Well, that sounds
and we'll
means that
see you tomorrow.
Time's
coming to an end. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
The Dubious Goals Committee.
Talk to you then.